Here's a bad joke of the day. If you have one, send it in. Box 7551, Twin Cities 55119. This guy goes to apply for a job at the MTC. It's going to be a bus driver. And he walks into the office and asks about the job and everything. And the guy goes, let me see your chauffeur's license. Takes a look at it. Goes, okay, pal, you're on. Sign here. Here's the keys. You got to drive that bus right over there. It's route number 26. See you later. Guy goes, I can't drive that bus. He goes, what do you mean you can't drive it? You want the job or not? Guy goes, well, that bus has Sesame Street characters all over it. Painted on the side. The guy goes, what? Look, you want the job or you want to hit the bricks, pal, huh? The guy goes, okay, okay. He takes the keys, gets in the bus, pulls out down the street, gets to the place where he starts his route. Pulls up at the first stop. Doors open. This really huge woman standing outside. I mean, we're talking big here. We're talking fat city. We're talking sits around the house, you know? Door open. She goes, hi, I'm Patty. The guy goes, oh, Patty, how you doing? Come on in here. Listen, I'm expecting some snow later. Why don't you go back and sit over the wheels? Know what I'm talking about? She goes, okay. She goes, and walks back and sits down. Bus driver closes the door and continues on down the street, comes to the next stop, opens the door. Another incredibly huge woman standing at the bottom of the steps. He goes, come on in. She goes, hi, my name's Patty. The bus driver goes, this is too much.
Two Patties.
Can't believe it. He goes, tell you what, you got a woman back there and sitting in the back of the bus you got a lot in common with. Why don't you go out, you know, going back and have a seat?
Okay, no problem.
So she goes down there, goes up to the next stop, next stop, next stop, comes to, there's a kid waiting at the next stop. His name is Ross. Ross has got this big computer that he's working on, a battery-operated computer, and he's sitting there working out calculations and things, and he's a really smart kid. Mm. I mean, this kid is smart. And the kid comes on the bus driver goes, oh, how you doing? What's your name? He goes, my name's Ross. Bus driver goes, well, gee, you're a pretty smart kid. They're working all those calculations and everything while you're walking down the street. You're a pretty special guy. Come on in here. You can be special Ross. You can sit right by me here, and I'll show you how the bus works and everything. It's okay. Oh, boy. You know, the kid gets on the bus. Comes to the next stop. So opens, door opens, and there's this old bummy guy there.
Ooh.
And he comes on the bus, and he kind of smells bad. You know, he's got like a bad aroma. And he said,
hi, Mr. Bus Driver. My name's Lester. Lester Reese.
He goes, fine, Lester, just go open the window, okay? Lester goes and sits down. He takes off his shoes, and he starts picking his bunions. So the bus driver looks behind him, pulls out, didn't see the little car, you know, and pulls into the left lane. Bam! Gets the bus in an accident.
Oh, no.
Policeman sitting right across the street. He's pretty depressed about the whole thing. Policeman sees him not using his turn signal and everything. Police goes, all right, pull over the bus here in the curb. Pulls over. He goes, buddy, you know, you didn't use your turn signals there, and you caused an accident. What do you got? What's going on here? What do you got here? The bus driver turns around, looks over his shoulder towards the back of the bus, and he goes, well, looks to me like we got two obese patties, special Ross, Lester Reese, picking bunions on a Sesame Street bus. It was 10 minutes to opening time, and the bartender was busy preparing for the day's business when he heard a loud knock on the front door of his establishment. Upon opening the door, it was more than a little annoyed to find a drunken bum semi-standing in the doorway. What do you want? Asked the bartender. The beer, mumbled the drunk. The bartender tried for several minutes to continue to convince the man to go home and sleep off his already loaded system to no avail. Finally, in resignation, he allowed the bum in for one short beer while no other patrons were present. Surveying the premises, the bum noticed a dartboard on the wall opposite the bar.
I want to play darts,
said the man, his speech slurred. You might hurt yourself, said the barkeep. The darts are pointy.
Oh, please, just one,
whined the bum. Reluctantly, the bartender handed the man one dart. Bum took one look behind him at the dartboard, threw the dart back over his shoulder, and to the astonishment of the bartender, bullseye.
Well, do I get a prize?
Asked the man, smiling. Bartender, too shocked to... Well, he was shocked. Looked around for something resembling a prize. Under the bar, he found a shoebox with a turtle in it that he had intended to take home to his son as a pet. He decided that he didn't want a turtle running around his house anyway, so he handed the man the shoebox. The drunk smiled, drained his glass, paid for his drink, and left. About a week later, about 10 minutes to opening, same bartender, same knock at the same door, opened the door, same guy standing there, and he wanted to try darts again. Well, the bartender was ready to see if a dart could be made, so he let the drunk in. As before, and to the amazement of the bartender, a dart was thrown into the center of the dartboard, and the bum said,
do I get another prize?
I don't know, said the bartender. What'd you get last time? The drunk thought for a moment and replied,
roast beef sandwich on a hard roll.
A note from Michael Towie. says, Hach sollen schlieben. On the bottom. I wonder what that means. This guy's a good guy. He sends us stuff all the time. Dear, good morning, Chris and Pam. Apparently, the last few jokes I submitted were unsuitable for broadcast. Well, you're right, Mike. They were. I'm not surprised. Most of my ideas are unsuitable for broadcast. Feel free to toss this joke, too. However, for some weird reason, I have the compulsion to send bad jokes to the Morning Sickness Show. We're glad you did, Mike, because we're going to use your joke today as soon as we get set up here. Okay, I'm ready. I want you to picture in your mind, folks at home, also Pam, I'm picturing my dentist's office. You know exactly what it looks like. They all kind of look the same. Tile, padded seat, that big light hanging down from the ceiling, little tray that swings around, little sink, little console with knobs on it. Just picture that. Do you like going to the dentist?
Mm-mm.
It just kind of gets you, makes you kind of clammy just thinking about it. Woman goes into the dentist's office. She has to have a tooth pulled. She is really nervous. She hates going to the dentist. Dentist comes in. She's really uptight. Relax, says the dentist. Lady says, I hate this. I'd rather have a baby than go through this. Well, make up your mind. I have to adjust the chair. This is the classic misplaced pair of gloves joke. Can you hear me?
I think so.
A young man wished to purchase a birthday present for his sweetheart. After consideration, he decided on a pair of gloves. His sister went with him to the department store and bought a pair of white gloves. His sister bought a pair of panties. In delivery, the packages got mixed up. His sister got the gloves, he the panties. You understand? Get the picture here?
I think so.
Without examining the contents of the package, he sealed it and sent it to his sweetheart with this note. Dearest darling, this is a little gift to show I have not forgotten your birthday. I chose these because I've noticed you are in the habit of not wearing any when you go out in the evenings. If it had not been for my sister, I would have chosen the longer ones with buttons, but she said short ones, which are more in fashion, would be easier to remove. These are a delicate shade, but the lady I bought them from showed me a pair she had been wearing for 2 weeks, and they were hardly soiled. I had the sales girl try them on, and she really looked smart. Now I wish I could put them on you for the first time. No doubt other men's hands will come in contact with them before I have a chance to see them again. When you take them off, blow in them before putting them away, for they will be naturally damp from wearing. And be sure to keep them on while cleaning them, or they may shrink. I hope you will like them and wear them Friday night. All my love, John. P.S. Just think of all the times I will kiss the backs of them in the coming years. The latest style is to wear them unbuttoned and hanging down. The year 1412. The place, England. The king, he had to go away on the Crusades. But his wife was so beautiful, he wasn't sure he could trust his 11 young male servants. He knew them well, they were loyal, but after a number of years while he'd be gone, he was concerned about his wife's chastity, the king. So he went to a blacksmith and asked for the strongest chastity belt the guy could make. The man brings out a strong belt, but it had an opening in the center. The king was skeptical until the blacksmith said, here, take this broom handle and just put it in there. And he did, and snap! His huge blades came down and chopped the end right off the broom handle. Well, the king got this sly grin on his face, and he was kind of happy. And he took the belt, took it home, put it on his wife, and headed off to the Holy Wars. 10 years later, he returns, lines up all his servants to inspect them to see if they've been faithful servants. 10 of them were now eunuchs. Oh, no, the king was shattered. He comes up to the 11th, takes a look at him, and finds out that he's intact. The king is flooded with happiness. He feels so good that at least one of his servants was loyal. He didn't know what he could say to the guy. He puts his arm around the faithful follower, puts his arm around him, and he says, son, anything in my kingdom for being a loyal servant of mine, anything you want, you just name what you want out of my kingdom, and you can have it. The servant looked up at the king and said, Hey, Pam.
What?
Last week, the police arrested a man for peddling eternal youth pills.
Oh.
Turned out he was a repeat offender.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he'd been arrested in 1725, 1758, 1849, and 1804.
bye.
Once upon a time, there was a snake named Nate. Near his home, there was a lever, which, if pulled, would split the world in half.
Oh.
On a hot summer day, Nate was out for a stroll and started to cross the highway. Just then, a man came speeding down the road. The speeding man saw Nate and the lever just in time to make a split-second decision. He could swerve and miss one or the other. Well, needless to say, the man saved the world and unfortunately ran over poor Nate. Nice guy, Nate. He was a happy snake. Everybody liked him. It's kind of sad.
Poor Nate.
Do you feel sad?
I do feel real sad.
Well, and to cheer you up, just remember the moral of the story.
What is?
Better Nate than Lever.